This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Bob Edwards. This week marks a decade since the start of the Rwandan genocide. The country still is trying to recover, not just socially, but economically, from the 1994 bloodshed in which nearly a million Rwandans were killed. Rwanda is the most densely populated country in Africa. In addition to ethnic fighting, there's been tension for decades over access to land. Most farmers till small hillside plots, but Rwandans are starting to make use of flood-prone lowlands. NPR's Jason Bobian reports the rehabilitation of these swampy plains bring Hutus and Tutsis together in a way that wouldn't have been possible a few years ago.
The word Rwanda, at least to the Western mind, still elicits images of a brutal genocide, of Hutus slaughtering Tutsis with machetes in the streets, of skulls piled beside mass graves. But visually, Rwanda looks like an African paradise. Tidy plots of banana, cassava, and corn form a patchwork over Rwanda's green tropical hills. There's a problem here, however. Most Rwandans are subsistence farmers, and almost all the arable land is already cultivated. Under a new program, swamps at the bottom of Rwanda's numerous hills are being transformed into rice fields. Outside the southern city of Butare, dozens of Hutu and Tutsi villagers are working side by side, digging drainage and irrigation canals through the flat lowlands. The leader of the work group, Christophe Sibomana, says as a result of the genocide, agricultural production plummeted, and 10 years later, Rwandans are still feeling its effects. Many farmers were killed, others fled, farm tools were lost, stolen, or destroyed. Seed crops rotted in the fields. Sibomana says it's taken farmers years to recover. This project, he says, referring to the rice paddies, is not something we could have even thought about 5 years ago. In part, this is because in the wake of the genocide, people were focused mainly on surviving, but also because Rwandans had little interest at that time in communal projects. Sibomana says he sees the rice fields as a sign that life is restarting in his country. One of the farmers, Gaspar Bizamunga, is poking bright green rice seedlings into the muddy soil. He wears a tattered t-shirt, cinched-up trousers, and knee-high black rubber boots. Bizamunga also has a small hillside plot where he grows vegetables, but he says rice is his only opportunity to earn cash. In a small plot like this one, I can easily produce 600 pounds of rice, he says. After putting away some of the rice for his family, Bizamunga proudly explains he can earn about $200 a year from his crop. Rwanda is an extremely poor country, and $200 is far more than he'd earn selling vegetables from his hillside garden. The Lowland Rehabilitation Project is organized and funded by Catholic Relief Services. David Leagy, the head of CRS in Rwanda, says the genocide made his organization rethink the work it was doing, not just here, but around the world.
For socioeconomic development to be sustainable, the very foundations, the very basis of society have to be sound.
If there's intense ethnic hatred, gross inequalities of wealth, or other fundamental flaws, aid agencies can pour millions of dollars into a country, but it all risks being wasted.
That's very much what happened, I think, with what we had done in Rwanda. We've been here for 40 years. There were significant resources that were invested in various development projects throughout the country, and much of that was lost during the genocide. So unless you have the very basis of foundations, unless people learn to live together out of mutual respect, I don't think it's possible really to do sustainable development work.
Leagy says the rice project in the lowlands is important because it's about more than just improving the yield of individual farmers. It's a chance to get Hutus and Tutsis to invest their time and labor together in a project that benefits the whole village. Jason Bobian, NPR News.